Morning. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to be still and silent and come under your word, its truth and its authority. And we pray that through the Holy Spirit we might be hearers and doers of your word. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This week we've all been touched and moved by the way Andrew Chan and Myuran Sukumaran faced the firing squad in Indonesia. And according to the reports, they face the firing squad without blindfolds, while at the same time singing songs of praise to God. Now, how is it possible for them to have faced death so calmly? In our passage last week, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul declared, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So what was Paul's secret to be able to face death so calmly? Now, our church here at Ashfield has begun some training sessions in personal evangelism. So if you're able to come this coming Wednesday, please come at 7:30 in the upstairs hall. Now, what we mean by personal evangelism is equipping us to be able to share the good news of the gospel to our network of friends. Now, there are many training courses for personal evangelism, but one of such training courses is called Evangelism Explosion, and this is known as EE for short. And the EE approach is, I believe, somewhat confrontational. Two questions are asked of the person you are sharing the gospel with. The first question is like this: if you were to die tonight, do you have certainty that you will go to heaven? And then the second question is this: on what basis would God let you enter heaven? Just think for a moment about those questions. I wonder how you and I would answer those questions. Well, back to Andrew Chan, Myuran Sukumaran, and the Apostle Paul. All three had no doubts that on death they would go to heaven. And this is because they truly understood the message of the gospel. And indeed, in the letter that we are studying, Paul's epistle to the Philippians, Paul explains in chapter 1 what the gospel is. God saves us through his grace, and our salvation does not depend on what we do, but rather on God's grace and God's love for us. And through God's grace, we receive peace and joy. And that has been clearly evident in the lives of Andrew Chan and Myuran Sukumaran. And Paul also refers to the fact that God takes the initiative in our salvation, and that he is with us to the very end. And this is verse 6 of chapter 1. Paul says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So you see, from beginning to end, our salvation is all of God's grace. And you and I will never understand the message of the gospel unless we understand what God's grace is. Now, in this epistle, Paul did remind the Philippians of the grace of God, but he also gives them a particular exhortation, and we heard about it in verses 12 and 13 that Sally read for us. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." You see, many people misunderstand what God's grace is. And one common misunderstanding about grace is to think that we need to supplement God's gift of salvation in Jesus. That is, we need to ensure that we do our part through doing good works and living a holy life. But the people who hold this view, they don't have any real certainty that they have done enough good works or lived the life that is holy enough. And the result is they are not 100% sure and certain that they will go to heaven when they die. The other common misunderstanding is to think that because our salvation is God's grace, then it doesn't matter what we do or don't do as Christians. It doesn't matter how we live. And such people say, I've got my ticket to heaven. It doesn't really matter how I live. But Paul, in this epistle, is emphatic that we should continue to work out our salvation to the end. Now, what Paul means is that our salvation is all of God's grace, and it is God's gift to us. But we ourselves consciously reach out to receive God's gift of salvation. And having received God's gift of salvation, we should desire to live a life that's pleasing to God. And this is what it means, I think, to work out our salvation to the end. Now, as Paul encourages us to work out our salvation to the end, he gives us three special aspects to consider. And the first aspect is obedience. And what Paul means here, I think, is obedience to God's word and obedience to God's will. When Jesus commissioned the disciples, he charged them to make disciples of all nations. And then he went on to say, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's Matthew 28 from verses 19 and 20. And this is exactly how Paul ministered to the Philippians. He had converted them, and then he had trained them to be disciples of Jesus. And now through this letter or epistle, he was reminding them to continue to obey the word of God. And the second aspect that Paul brings to our attention is fear and trembling. What Paul means by fear and trembling is not being afraid of God, but rather he's referring to total humility. Total humility in the presence of God, who is the most holy God. Now, last Wednesday night at the evangelism training, someone shared how the very famous evangelist, Billy Graham, always experienced fear and trembling before he began to preach. This means that he was always aware of the enormous privilege it is to share the word of God with others. And then the third aspect that Paul shares with us is knowing that God himself continues to work in us according to his good purpose. In other words, we're not alone as we work out our salvation to the end. God is with us each step of the way to ensure we can and we will work it out to the end. Just the other week, I read how a man in his 70s swam across the English Channel. That separates Britain or England from France. That's more than 30 kilometres, maybe it's more than 40 kilometres. A man in his 70s. But he had a support team in a boat beside him all the way to encourage him and to keep an eye out for the large shipping traffic in the English Channel. Paul reminds us that God will never leave us alone, but he will be with us. Indeed, he will work in us to enable us to work out our salvation to the end. Now, we know that most of the Philippine Christians, before they became Christians, had previously worshipped pagan idols. And when the gospel was preached to them, they consciously made the decision to receive Jesus and believe in the one true God. Now, this was not an easy choice for them, because their conversion to believing in Jesus had an effect on their family relations, had an effect on their business, and so on, all parts of their lives. And part of Paul's reason for writing this letter to them was to encourage them to continue to grow as believers. And one key aspect of growing as a believer is to continue to work out salvation to the end. Now, I wonder how long it is since you yourself made the decision to believe in Jesus. Think about it for a moment. Paul is urging all of us to continue to grow to continue to work out our salvation to the end. Now, Paul was also aware of the dynamics that were evident in the church at Philippi. Therefore, he used this letter to address some particular issues. In some parts of the letter, he uses very, very strong language. For example, in chapter 3, verse 2, he writes, this is very strong language, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil. Then in chapter 3, verse 18, he points out that many are enemies of the cross of Christ. And it also appears that there was a serious unresolved dispute between two women. And these two women had shared in ministry of Paul. In chapter 4, verse 2, he writes, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Now, the problems in the church at Philippi are common to all local churches. And that's why we here at Ashfield need to pay careful attention to the advice that Paul gives. Now, we've already seen that in this epistle, Paul emphasizes the message of the gospel. And at the same time, he emphasizes what it means to live as a person who has responded to the call of the gospel. And that's why in verse 27 of chapter 1, he reminds the Philippians, therefore he reminds us, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. However, the reality was the Philippian Christians were failing to do this. Paul urged them to keep on working at growing and developing unity within the body. That is, unity within the body of believers. This is because unity in the body is important for spiritual growth. Conversely, disunity within the body puts a brake on spiritual growth. So in the first part of our passage today, verses 1 to 11, there is a focus on unity. And Paul's point is that because the Philippians are united to Christ, they should be united to one another. They should have the same love, they should have the same purpose, because they are united by the Holy Spirit as believers. They should also consider others better than themselves. They should look at the interests of others. Just for a moment, consider and imagine the reverse. Can you imagine a local church where the members are not united to one another? Where there's no mutual love? Where people don't share the same purpose? Where everyone thinks that they are better than others? Where everyone is only concerned for their own interests? Such a church environment would have a detrimental effect on spiritual growth. Would you like to be in a church like that? And so to challenge the Philippian Christians to work at unity within the body, Paul cited the example of the Lord Jesus. Jesus humbly served others like a slave. He didn't hold on to his own status, but he was willing to stoop down in order to serve others. Moreover, he was willing to give up his life for others. Indeed, through his perfect obedience and through his death on the cross for the sins of the world, Jesus was exalted to be given the name above every name. So Paul is giving all of us today a challenge. A challenge to work at unity within the body and to work at loving and serving one another. Now Paul was also aware it was not easy for these Philippian Christians to keep on living their lives in a way pleasing to God. Because in chapter 1 verse 29, he referred to the fact that they would suffer because of their belief in Jesus. But he was confident that they would pay careful attention to this letter. He was confident that as a result of this letter, they would indeed make an effort to work out their salvation to the end. And he was also confident they would work out growing the unity within the body. And because of this confidence, he reminded them to shine like stars in the universe. Now, I wonder if you've ever had the opportunity to go to the outback areas of New South Wales. And if you have the opportunity, I recommend that you visit the Warrumbungle National Park. Aboriginal name, Warrumbungle National Park. This is near the town of Coonabarabran. Coonabarabran, another Aboriginal word. And I didn't check, but I think it's about 500 kilometres northwest of Sydney. quite a long distance away. If you go there, you'll find that the air is clear, and in the air there's minimal dust. So on a night where there are no clouds, you'll be amazed at the stars you can see in the night sky. And that's why there's a large telescope there. It's the Siding Springs Telescope. In particular, if you have never seen it, you'll be able to see the Milky Way. Why is it so? Because in the national park, there are no sources of light anywhere, in and around the national park, for many, many kilometres. And at night, it's pitch black, the sky's pitch black throughout the park. The sky's pitch black. And this means that even the small stars and the stars of the Milky Way are visible. It's truly a wonderful experience if you've never had this experience, and reminds us of how great God is to have created the universe. Now, Paul's point is that we live in the world that is so affected by sin that it is as dark as black can be. And Christians, wherever we may happen to be, like the Philippian Christians, in comparison to this dark world, will shine like stars. And because Christians shine like stars in their community, they are going to attract men and women to the light of the gospel. I think you can see what Paul means and what he is meaning to say to the Philippian Christians whom he loves and cares for so much. You see, the signs of disunity will result in a negative effect on their spiritual growth. They would be in danger of despising God's grace. They wouldn't really experience true peace and true joy. And what is more, they would become ineffective in shining like stars. In other words, they would become ineffective in fulfilling God's purpose and mission for them. You see, working out our salvation is not just a case of holding on and holding fast to the gospel. It's not just a case of holding on and holding fast to the Lord Jesus. It is living out the implications of the gospel in every part of our lives. It's living a life that reflects God's grace and gives evidence that we truly have peace and joy. It's living a life as a believer so that we can be described as shining like stars. Now, our challenge for all of us here at Ashfield is to so shine like stars that we are going to build bridges of the gospel with our local community. And our challenge here at Ashfield is to so shine like stars that others will be attracted to the gospel. And let's encourage one another to do this. Well, we began with the sad news of the execution of Andrew Chan and Myuran Sukumaran. But we also saw that they had received the gospel. They knew God's grace, and they had peace and joy even in the midst of adversity. They kept their faith in Jesus to the end. They kept on encouraging one another to the end. They worked out their salvation to the end. And may this be a challenge to all of us. May we encourage one another and spur one another on to work out our salvation to the end. And may we be glad and rejoice together as we do this. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that through all aspects of our service this morning, through the songs, through the Bible reading, through the prayers, and through the sharing of the reflection of the Heidelberg Catechism, we've been reminded of the gospel and the fact that our Lord Jesus was willing to die for our sins. And we thank you that the gospel is of your grace and you offer us peace and joy. And we pray that in the challenges we face as believers, that you will equip us and strengthen us that we might be found faithful, because you will enable us to work out our salvation to the end. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.